We're going to talk now about the remarkable true story of one woman's journey back from the brink. Newly widowed and faced with a deadly brain tumour, she was given just 2 years to live, but she wouldn't accept it. To tell us more, I'm delighted to welcome to the show Rachel Gotto.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, so happy to be speaking to you today. It's an amazing story. So you've put your memoir into a book called Flying on the Inside, and it all started when your six-year-old daughter found you collapsed on the kitchen floor. Now, presumably, you didn't know anything about that.
I didn't, Selena. In fact, actually, because my husband had died some years earlier and I'd had a little girl alone, I was incredibly stressed. And of course, I had a lot of grief and a lot of things were going on in my life. So I never really noticed that things were going wrong. I knew they were going wrong, but I thought it was grief and loss and actually lack of sleep. So my body was starting to betray me. And occasionally I'd lose the use of my left arm when I was trying to drive the car. Occasionally I'd drive on the wrong side of the road. And you'd think that one person would say, oh, there's something wrong here. But I didn't, because I was so stressed. And the day I woke up on my back with Nicola sitting on me, screaming, Mummy, don't die. Please don't die, Mummy. Oh. I was forced to recognize then that there was something truly dreadfully wrong in my life.
Oh, crikey. Traumatic for both of you, you and the little girl.
Absolutely devastating. And it took quite a while for it to sink in, to be very honest, because I was quite used to things going wrong. I was quite used to trauma. I was quite used to life being very, very difficult and challenging. So I, you know, you could call me a little bit dumb, really, or, it, you know, thick. It didn't sink in that actually I had a life-threatening condition that was threatening to take my life and leave my daughter completely orphaned. So a lot had to be done. And of course, medical tests revealed I had a benign inoperable brain tumor and I didn't have that long to live.
Oh my goodness. So even though it was benign because it was inoperable, it meant it was, like you say, you only had a couple of years.
That's right, because of the location and because of the difficulty and the size of it, we tried all sorts of avenues for help. And most neurology teams turned me down and said, I'm so sorry, there's nothing we can do for you in your condition. It's too difficult, too entrenched in your brain. And unfortunately, you're going to have to go home and put your affairs in order.
How awful. And did they just say, we can manage it for you? Were they at least, you know, suggesting that?
Well, I had lovely support. And of course, they were offering me anti-epilepsy medications to try and keep the seizures at bay. But the prognosis was that the tumour would keep growing until eventually I'd have a catastrophic bleed or an aneurysm that burst. And unfortunately, that would be more than likely fatal.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're one of these people that refused to accept it. So how did you go about getting yourself better?
Well, I had a lot of good friends and a huge family that supported me, which was fantastic. And basically, it was the advent of the internet. And we did a lot of research and we wrote to a lot of neurology teams. And we even reached out as far as the Barrett Institute in Arizona. But it was my sister-in-law, actually, Jane Gotton, my late husband's sister, who knew a neurologist and introduced me to him. And he was the one who really brought some solutions. And I was introduced to Mr. Richard Nelson, a famous man for me in the French in Bristol. And he was known as a neurosurgeon who was pioneering, and he was very interested in AVMs, which is what I had. And it was really interesting, Selena, because I never met him until the morning of my surgery. And really what it was he wrote to me and he said, look, your chances of surviving are this. If you do survive, it's more than likely you'll be paralyzed down the left-hand side of your body for the rest of your days. Make your choices and come back to me, which is quite an unusual letter to receive, believe me. And of course, I didn't have to think too hard, of course, because I had a gorgeous daughter that I needed to be around for. And so on the 6th of January, 2006, surgery began, and it was extensive surgery. It took over 13 hours and I had an intracranial bleed. And thankfully, of course, I survived. But the story went on from there, which was I learnt a couple of days later that I had been paralysed down the left-hand side of my body because of the neurosurgery.
And is that still the case now?
No, it's not, Selena.
Wow, brilliant.
I walk like anyone else. I can pretty much run for my age like anyone else. And I have a slight disability in my left hand. I was left-handed, so it was quite a difficulty to rewire myself to become right-handed. But, I mean, my left hand works pretty well. I can't write with it, but I can do most things. I can pick things up. And, you know, so I'm totally happy with where I've got to. I am blessed, believe me.
Wow. It's almost like a miracle. It's fantastic to hear. And did you do anything different? I mean, presumably, although he was lovely, Mr. Richard Nelson, he said you paralysed down one side and that's it. But did you decide to try other alternatives?
I was lucky enough to be moved to what they call BIRRO, which is the Brain Injury Rehabilitation Unit in Bristol. And they were fantastic there because they got me started on the idea, actually, of neuroplasticity and mind over matter and the power of the mind. And it was really after a couple of weeks I was there in the hospital and I was learning to live with my dependency issues that I figured out, actually, that my biggest muscle in my body, never mind the muscles in my leg and my arm, actually was my mind. And this is what I began to tap into, was actually the power of my own mind to manifest and create what I wanted. So I used my mind and I used my mindset, and actually I dug deep into that seam or core, I call, which is our metal, you know, that's foundational core inside of us. I was determined that I was going to come through this and I was going to create a different result from my prognosis. So plenty of help, but also I think that, you know, understanding that I could harness my mind to create a different result was very, very important in the early stages.
Yeah, positive thinking for sure.
Yeah.
And how did it sort of come back gradually, your paralysis, or did all of a sudden you woke up and you were like, oh, hey, I can feel it?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't the magic wand moment, Selena. But, you know, I gained the use of my leg pretty soon. Within months, I was walking pretty well. It took years for my arm to move at all. It was hanging limp for, gosh, it must have been 3-4 years before it even had an inkling or a little kind of fraction of movement. It happened so gradually. But I think that importantly was I worked it. You know, I wouldn't give up. And I stared at my arm. I remember staring at my hand and saying, move, you've got to move. And I was clumsily using neuroplasticity then by rewiring the circuitry in my brain around the damaged nerves in my brain and starting to make new neural circuitry. And of course, that's what I do today, in effect, is I'm a clinical hypnotherapist. And I use the power of the mind to help other people get, you know, the same results. Well, obviously not in paralysis, but in their lives. The mind is a phenomenal organ, it really is.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Did you start doing hypnotherapy because of what happened to you?
I did, because I was a therapist in the becoming for the last 3 decades, really. I was always going to be a therapist, but I was training to be a talk therapist and my brother died. I was training to be an acupuncturist. My husband died. It was just a litany of obstacles in my way of having a career as a therapist. And probably there was something in the stars that was, you know, I was meant to hold off until I got to a certain place in my life. And it was literally in my recovery. I had a light bulb moment when I figured out, I know what I want to do now. I want to help other people to use their minds to recover their lives emotionally and physically. And when I came across clinical hypnotherapy, it was quite literally a link in a puzzle for me. And I just think that we don't know enough, or we don't utilize the mind enough to create change. And particularly when we have people who have belief systems that they've acquired from childhood, and those belief systems can cloud and give obstacles to our own emotional fields in life. So working with the subconscious mind to remove obstacles and blocks is very, very powerful and gets amazing results. And that's what I like to do. So yeah, it just fits perfectly with my story.
Wow. And if any of our listeners want to get in touch with you because they want to give it a try, have you got a website or anything?
I do. I've got rachelgotto.com and I'm rebranding at the moment, Selena. So I think we'll be going live in a couple of weeks, but I'm also on Instagram at Rachel B. Gotto and I'm there present nearly every day. So people can come and follow me and join in and comment. And I'd love to hear from people also who've recovered their challenges and overcome difficulties in their life.
Yeah, you're certainly living proof that it can work, the power of the mind. That's an incredible story. And also prove that you should never give up.
Absolutely. We never know what's around the corner. And that's one of my messages, is that we have wonderful powers within us to create wonderful, wonderful lives. But also, we never know when it's going to change. So never, ever give up. Just believe in life itself.
Yeah, and never take it for granted either. Never rest on your laurels.
No.
Well, people can find out more at rachelgotto.com or Instagram, but also from the book, which we're selling on our website. It's called Flying on the Inside, a memoir of trauma and recovery. And it's by Rachel Gotto, who is our first guest of the week. Rachel, I salute you. I also salute Mr. Richard Newman, because he's done a fantastic, sorry, Nelson. He's done a fantastic job. But thank you for sharing your story with us today.
Pleasure, Selena. Have a lovely day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.